The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Man, I want to play Resident Evil 4.
I know, right?
What the hell?
Akeem, are you okay?
Happy 420, everybody. My dude, it is March 7th. Not if you were this high. Beyond and hello and welcome to episode 791 to the number one PlayStation and PlayStation adjacent podcast that we make here at IGN. I'm Max Scoville and I'm joined today by Jada Griffin.
The queen hath returned. I ran unopposed, so I won again.
You're back by default. And yes. Josh Du joining us.
Hey, I'm just a peasant. I don't have any sort of titles.
All right, we're doing a very feudal episode this week. And Akeem Lewanson, where are you?
I'm the king of mugs right here. I got my famed Olympian Jesse Owens mug today. I'm ready to run it.
We got some market research back, and the thing that people who listen to audio podcasts love to hear is the illusion of mugs. They like to hear people address the mugs, but you can't see them. If you're watching video, you can see the mug, but if you're listening to the audio, you are out of luck. Anyway, in addition to mugs, we also like to talk about video games on this show. I'm going to be honest, there's not a lot of news this week. It's kind of a slow news week. That tends to happen.
It's only Tuesday.
It's true. Tomorrow they might announce the PlayStation 6 and 7 on the PlayStation blog and put up half a JPEG of one of the controllers, but we'll have to wait and see about that. In the meantime, there is some fun stuff to talk about. The PlayStation 2 turned 23 this week. You know, the most exciting birthday.
So you're at the age everybody hates you.
Yeah, between 22 and 24. We'll find a fun way to talk about that in a bit. We also want to talk about QuickTime events, if we're quick enough. But maybe we're not quick enough. We'll find out about that. Also, they announced Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Budokai number 4. Not number 4. Maybe just, I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Tenkaichi 4. Yeah.
We'll get around to it. But first, I want to talk a little bit about how PlayStation has maybe more movies and shows officially announced than it does games, which is kind of a weird quandary. Obviously, this is first and foremost a show about video games, but we haven't really had a lot to talk about. I did a little bit of research, a little bit of digging around here, and official Sony Interactive Entertainment published games that are officially announced that we know about, I think maybe discounting PSVR 2 stuff. There is Spider-Man 2, which is coming out later this year. There is Wolverine, which is coming out sometime after that. There's Rise of the Ronin, which is the Team Ninja Ronin game, which is slated for 2024. There's Death Stranding 2, which is whenever they finish making it. There's the Star Wars KOTOR remake, which is sort of in a nebulous, on-hold development hell type of situation. And there's Stellar Blade, which is from a Korean studio called Shift Up, and Lost Soul Aside, which is Utila Zero Games, which is based out of China. That was all of like the PlayStation-published official Capital Play, Capital Station PlayStation games we know about.
Yeah, I think the only other one is the Last of Us multiplayer factions.
Sure.
But like that's pretty much it. They've been kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm. Like, and apparently there's a bunch of games as services in the works that are, you know, waiting to happen, which again is sort of another, I mean, those are obviously games that get releases, but they're also kind of, they're services, you know. It's kind of hard to classify them as, you know, that AAA single player prestige game that we've come to know and love from PlayStation. But that said, there are also a bunch of shows and movies. For instance, The Last of Us, it is wrapping up season one next week, this week, whatever. It's renewed for season two. We also have the Twisted Metal show coming to Peacock sometime later this year. Then there's the God of War Amazon series, which is question marks, as well as the Horizon Netflix series, which is also question marks. Later this summer, we're getting the Gran Turismo movie, We also got wind of a Ghost of Tsushima movie from Chad Stahelski, who's the John Wick co-creator, mm-hmm. stuntman. You know, he's the guy who gets punched through walls instead of Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. That was announced back in March 2021. There's also a Days Gone movie, which was announced in August 2022, alongside a Gravity Rush movie, which is weirdly enough from Tony, the late Tony and still around Ridley Scott's production company, Scott Free, which is kind of an odd choice there. And then the Death Stranding movie, which is technically not PlayStation Studios, but if we're counting the game as a PlayStation game, let's count the movie. So this is weird. Like, this is... There's more upcoming PlayStation movies to talk about than there are games. How do we feel about this, Jada?
You know what? I'm actually kind of excited for it. Like, I don't get me wrong. I'm a gamer first, a TV watcher, movie watcher second. But I love to watch stuff when I just need a break and I'm just trying to, like, wind down. And this kind of keeps me in the PlayStation universe, kind of as a weird kind of way to put it. But, you know, I'm excited for it. One I didn't expect to be kind of interested in is the Gran Turismo movie. Like, that's where footage we're showing, just because of how the story that they're going with it, where it's was somebody who got really good at Gran Turismo and then became a professional driver. And it's kind of this story. And I'm very excited to see how this kind of pans out. And I've played, you know, maybe 5 hours of Gran Turismo in my life. So, but I'm still excited for it. It looks good.
Josh, what about you?
I think I'm in the same boat. Like, I think there are still, like, a good amount of games to be excited for. But I don't know. How does this compare to, like, past years? Does this feel like there are less games upcoming?
I feel like there's less games we know about this year than compared to other years for PlayStation specific, yeah, that are, you know, mm-hmm. exclusive. But I think we're kind of par for the course for, like, when it comes to third party stuff. I mean, we've got Resident Evil and Star Wars just around the corner. So, like,
yeah.
And we've already had Dead Space.
There's plenty of third party stuff to be excited about. It's obviously going to be a huge year for games, but it is sort of weird as a, you know, PlayStation centric show to, like, not really have a ton that is, you know, around the corner that we know of. Maybe. Akeem, how are you feeling about all this?
I mean, if we're talking about this show, yes, I totally understand your sentiments, Max. But, like, as just someone who consumes just, you know, just media of all in all forms, I think this is great. You know, this is great that we're getting, like, these various different movies and these TV shows. Also, I feel like PlayStation, they have to keep up with their competitors. I mean, you look at what, you know, Xbox is doing. Like, there's a Gears of War movie and TV show in the works over at Netflix. There's a Fallout Prime Video series. You know, Halo just got renewed for a second season on Paramount Plus. There's going to be a Grounded series on Netflix, so I feel like they have to keep up with the times. Like, they're sitting on these great IPs. You gotta adapt them, and so you don't have to, but they mm-hmm. want to, because they want to keep up with the competitors.
Well, I think
look at the success of Arcane and Cyberpunk Edge Runners mm-hmm. on Netflix. So
I mean, I think between the success of the Last of Us show and the upcoming Mario movie, which is undoubtedly going to rake in a ton of money because you know the two Sonic movies did, I feel like Mario and the Last of Us are like the two ends of the video game spectrum in terms of where a story can go. You can have, like, extremely hard M-rated serious storytelling, or Mario. It's definitely like a wide net to cast.
Mushroom eaten plumber. Yeah.
It's mushrooms in both of them. You know, it's they're hot these days. That psilocybin
is the secret.
Yeah.
But I mean, that makes sense from, like, a business perspective then, right? Like, I think a lot of people have concerns that PlayStation is losing exclusives, or, like, they don't have enough exclusives or whatever, but, like, maybe going multimedia is their new approach mm-hmm. here. It's like, maybe you'd be making more money by taking less risks on new IPs and new games, and rather just try to build out your universe of multimedia for the stuff you know already works, and then it'll become this, like, self-sustaining cycle where, like, people watch the show, they'll play the game, they watch the show, and they just make more money that way.
I mean, we've seen the numbers, like the Witcher Netflix show saw sales of that game just skyrocket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same went for The Last of Us.
Same with Cyberpunk.
There's a thing that we should address here where it's sort of in terms of the way the different industries work, like, entertainment stuff is way more transparent about what's happening. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that is one sort of side effect of video games having a root in, like, being tech rather than strictly entertainment. Like, they're this kind of odd intersection of industries. But, you know, you read, like, Hollywood Reporter, they'll announce, oh, this director is attached to this project. Or, like, you know, this script, like, they, I mean, the fact that there are screenplays kicking around for years that are just sort of, like, out there, you know, like that would be a closely guarded proprietary secret if it were on the game side of things. Yep. And I mean, you know, we get leaks, we get rumors and stuff, but in, you know, compared to how, you know, you'll be like, oh, here's your first look at Natalie Portman in Thor because she was walking through a parking lot. Like, it's a very different approach to sort of secrecy and keeping things under wraps. So from that perspective, it's sort of not surprising that we know this much about the shows and the movies because, you know, publicists, like, we knew that Boba Fett was coming back because Tamara Morrison's agent was like, he's back, baby, check out the IMDb. And it was like, that could have been a nice surprise, but sure, I'll tune into The Mandalorian. That's not a spoiler. That's from like 3 years ago at this point. I don't know. It's funny because I've always had kind of a holistic approach to media because I like genre media in general. I like comics. I like games. I like books. I like movies. I like shows, you know, assuming they're about things that I like. And some people are very strictly, you know, medium focused. And I don't know. It's fun to get to talk about both. On this show, like I like it, you know.
I agree, and you know, I guess you know one of the things Josh said kind of like jogged my memory is like there are so many games that I play, and I play a lot of games, y'all. You guys know this, and I'm just like, man, I would love to see more of this story. I would love to see more of this, and it feels like we're moving in that trajectory for games and just movies and TV in general. Like we're getting more of that. So like I don't know.
Yeah. Plus the games come out like every 5 or 6 years. Like if you want a sequel to a game you like, it's going to take forever. But then if, you know, they're putting out more shows, they'll keep the fan base alive in that way.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, Hollywood has been doing for years. Like I remember, you know, when I went to like the arcade, like I loved playing Rampage and I was like, man, I wish there was a Rampage movie starring one of my favorite wrestlers. And sure enough, you know, years later we got Rampage, same thing with Dead or Alive. You know, I was playing that on the PS2. It's like, man, I wish I could see these people punching each other, you know, in on the big screen. And sure enough, that happened as well.
I had that happen with Double Dragon back in the day, playing that on the NES. And then I got that amazing movie. I got to see, you know, to see them just kicking butt.
I remember
pretty fun
watching John Leguizamo stand up, and I was like, I wish John Leguizamo could play a plumber. And sure enough, that happened as well. So, like, Hollywood has been doing this for years, which just excites me as someone that just, like, loves this type of medium. So,
see, I'm the opposite. Yeah. I would watch John Leguizamo's The Pest, and I would be like, I wish this was a narrative video game. I wish there was a game where you got to be The Pest. Four people remember that movie. That's not a very good movie. Dragon movie. I watched that fairly recently because I have things wrong with my brain. That is a super fun bad movie. That is a very good... God, a Bobo is just horrifying. Real good. And they got Robert Patrick looking like Vanilla Ice, which is a choice. of these various, you know, cross-media projects, I guess which are you most excited about? And you don't have to say Gran Turismo just because we have B-roll of that.
I am actually really excited for Gran Turismo. Okay, but if we're going outside of it, I think I'm going to go for the wild card and I'm going to say Gravity Rush because I really love the stories and the gameplay for Gravity Rush. And I feel like if they do it right, depending on what choice they go, animated or CG, because I don't know. I guess they could go live action.
Scott Free Productions, Ridley Scott's company, I don't think has ever done anything animated, which is interesting.
Oh, well, there we go. You know what? Still going to give it my vote. Still going to give it the wild card vote. I'm going to buy my ticket like as soon as they go on sale and go see it, regardless of if it looks good or bad. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to be first person in line because I love my girl Kat in Gravity Rush.
I'm going to go with Ghost of Tsushima here just because I think the talent behind it so far is very promising. But my only apprehensions are I'm not a huge fan of Ghost's story. I think it is very like made for video games in a way.
Okay.
So putting it into a movie format, I don't know if it will be as interesting. And my second is that I'm worried they're just going to be using the volume for every shot. Because, I mean, the game is gorgeous, and I'm sure they're going to try and replicate, you know, that vibe of just, like, these open fields with, like, really colorful plants and whatever. And that seems perfect to use in the volume. So I'm worried they'll look a little flat.
I disagree, because I think with something where it's a completely exotic locale, like Star Wars, where you have to have a lot of, you know, bespoke sets, that's one thing. But, you know, Tsushima is a real place.
Yeah.
Like, and it's also finding, you know, you might have to fly around a bit. You might have to, like, you know, up the saturation of the cherry blossoms or whatever. But, like, those are all existing trees.
Or always shoot at sunset
Like. Exactly. I mean, that's that part gets tricky, but yeah, we're going to. All right, guys, we missed Golden Hour. Let's do it again. Yeah, I mean, that's also like an interesting thing about a samurai movie is that like that stuff to make that universe exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's all like, I don't know, you can go find some bamboo to cut in half and you can find an actual hot spring and you can probably find, you know, some people who know how to make swords. Like half the design work is done for you by actual history. So
yeah,
you know,
that's true. It'd be an easier lift than a Death Stranding thing. For
exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what I'm excited about. I'm genuinely curious which we see first. A Death Stranding movie trailer or the actual release of Death Stranding 2. I think it could be kind of neck and neck there. Then again, I mean, Kojima actually, you know, created that whole universe, and I feel like the second game in that sense is going to be a lot less of a lift than having to track down an engine and form a studio and all that. So,
yeah,
you know, hopefully.
I'm ready for the first Strand-type movie. That would be really cool.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
I don't know. Yeah. I think every time you watch it in a theater, it will be built upon the second time you watch it and the third time. And every time someone else is watching it, like, maybe you'll hear their reactions in the background to certain moments. I don't know. It'd be cool.
A Strand-type movie. Isn't that just like a movie with a sequel? Is that what that means? Like, just another movie that's just produced from the previous movie? Is that
look,
what
I'll
it
be
is?
Honest. I don't even know what Strand-type means.
No one does.
They just, I mean, maybe they just release, like, 50 different edits. And
oh,
so
yeah.
You go it'd see it like every Clue. Different time. It's just different every time.
I would love to see Kojima responding in real time to, like, movie reviews and comping in new stuff like just
based
like,
on the review,
you know,
hot patching movie.
Like the infinite George Lucas thing and being like, we saw that people thought there was not enough of the baby, so we've added more of the baby in every shot.
That'd be awesome.
He might actually do that. Yeah, don't give him ideas.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very weird universe that I'd like to see more of. You know, and I'm not necessarily married to seeing more of Norman Reedus. I just kind of want to see, like, what, you know, well, yeah, what's going on there? Because that, like, there's no, it's out there.
Max, do you think they wouldn't have Norman Reedus, though? I feel like, I mean, he's an actor, so, I mean, I don't know what this, we don't know what this Death Stranding movie is going to look like, but, you know, Norman Reedus is an actor.
Yeah.
He was in another movie that kind of reminded, that's very reminiscent of Death Stranding called Air. I don't know if, Red, you can pull up a clip of that, but it kind of reminded me of this video game. So I don't know. I feel like he would be a prime, like, and not only him, but like every single person that's in the video game, it could work on the big screen. They're all actors.
Hold on.
So we're gonna
hold
get
on,
Conan
hold on, hold on,
and
hold on.
Jeff Keighley.
Hold on. Sonny Vaccaro and Nike pursue basketball rookie Michael Jordan, creating a partnership that revolutionizes the world of sports and contemporary culture. They got Norman Reedus for that?
Wait, no.
That's Air. That's coming out this year.
Yeah, wait. Is it Air as in like the air we breathe? Or
yes! It's like Air Jordan.
Yes!
That's what you're talking about? That's
yes, what, I, that's what Red is currently showing on the screen.
That doesn't look like a... I don't think they were faithful to the source material. This doesn't look like a basketball movie at all. When's he going to get the Nikes?
The movie is about them running out of air. And Norman Reedus is like the bad guy. Like, what are you doing, man? You're running out of air.
I mean, I could see this Death Stranding movie like taking place in the universe as opposed to like a direct adaptation of what the game was about. I feel like Kojima, he wouldn't want to retread something, right? He'd want to be like, I'm in love with this universe. I have so many more stories to tell from it. Like,
well, he also respects filmmakers. Like, he loves movies so much. I mean, he put a bunch of filmmakers in his game.
Yep.
Which is like, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's the production company from the guy who did Barbarian, which was a phenomenal movie. So I'm stoked to see whatever they do with that. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's fun to get to talk about this stuff.
Akeem, do you have something that you're most excited for?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say Death Stranding, but I mean, if we're sticking with like, you know, first parties, I would definitely say God of War. I feel like it's, because the game is so good narratively, I feel like it's kind of hard for them to screw that up, just like with The Last of Us. Like, I mean, like everyone loved The Last of Us, gamers as well as just people that just consume TV and movies and probably never touched the video games. Like, I feel like it's definitely going to be hard for them to screw that up, but I'm curious to know who they're going to cast in all the various different roles.
Yeah.
I know people have been saying like, oh, you should get Chris Judge, but I mean, Chris Judge is awesome. You know, he's got that voice, but I think you need someone with a lot more. Shout out to Chris Judge. I love him. I respect him, but I think you need someone with a lot more range. Not saying that he doesn't have the range.
I mean, he was what Stargate, right? Like, he's got the acting chops. He's done. I don't know. Like, it depends.
The last movie he was in was a movie about hobbits. Red, can you pull up the clip? It was a movie about hobbits. He was like this tall man. And
what do you mean a movie about hobbits? Was it a hobbit movie?
Was it The Hobbit?
It had hobbits in the title.
So it was one of the Hobbit movies.
What? It wasn't one of the Hobbit movies. It was like one of those magnet movies where it's like it's a ripoff of an actual movie.
Oh, kind of like how instead of like Pacific Rim, we got like Atlantic Rim.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Atlantic Circle.
They just put out, that's The Asylum, and they just emailed me to let me know that hot off the success of Cocaine Bear, they are back with Meth Gator.
Whoa, I'm down for that.
Meth
Gator. Yeah,
which is, I guess, also based on a true story, but it's like, just make a move, make it original, whatever.
So wait, the gator has no teeth? Like, what are we afraid of?
I mean, he's still got the pressure, the jaws still have pressure, you know.
Problem resolves itself. There it is, taken care of. I'm dying to see what the Twisted Metal show is like. I'm still not going to subscribe to Peacock to check it out, but that's Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who did Zombieland and I think the first Deadpool.
Okay.
So there's potential there. It's also like Twisted Metal is such a, obviously there is a fan base, but it's also kind of a forgotten franchise at this point that I don't know if it necessarily needs a reboot, but I'm like, I'm interested to see what a reinterpretation of that looks like. And again, I don't have any strong attachment to it. So if they completely F it up, I'm not going to be too bothered by it, you know.
I will. Yeah. I have a very strong attachment to Twisted Metal.
You got that sweet tooth tattoo on your back?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. No.
Jade also has a sweet tooth.
I do have a sweet tooth in general. I love my candy.
Can I just say this because I know it's going to get clipped and it's going to get back to Chris. I interviewed him last year, so I just want to let it be known that I love Chris. I hope that he does become a part of the whatever their work, you know, the series in some capacity. I just think it would, you know, it would be as if they were to cast Troy Baker as Joel in the last HBO series.
I think you should play, like, Atreus.
I would love that. Yes. Yeah. You're talking Troy Baker playing Atreus?
No. Chris Judge should play Atreus.
Chris Judge as Atreus.
I think they should. I mean, they got Sigourney Weaver playing a teenager in Avatar. I think you could get Chris Judge. You just use computers to shrink him so he's small. Use computers to make his voice a little bit higher.
Oh, my goodness, Max. Look, I just want him to be a part of the series, period. That's
he
it.
Should play
so,
the
Chris,
snake.
Shout out to you. I'm going to talk for the next 45 Gandar. Minutes just talking about how much I want you to be a part of the series in honor of Chris Judge. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to.
I mean, that said, the God of War series does have extremely big shoes to fill, footsteps to follow, following Boots. Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
Boots, yeah. What are, sandals, mm-hmm. I don't know what they wear. But no, like, that's, you know, the problem is that, like, making The Last of Us show, like, you can just mess up a bunch of cars and put some mushrooms and moss on it, and there you go. That's the set dressing. But to, you know, create a giant snake, I feel like the Achilles heel of that Norse god is going to be the special effects, because if they aren't, you know, what people expect, it's going to be... I don't know. It's going to get picked apart, but...
Okay, we gave moments to shine to all the other ones. I have to talk about Horizon, because I'm also hyped for Horizon, despite it going to Netflix, because everybody likes to forget Horizon, and I love that franchise. I can't wait to see more, but, like...
When you picture Horizon, what does it look like in your head? Like, what's that universe like?
I mean, I would love to see... I would love to see more of the... Maybe not the fall of society, because I feel like... I mean, although I think that could be very engaging. I mean, the series is all about the mechs, the monsters, the dinosaurs, the robots. Like, I want to see that. I want to see spectacle. Like, they have a real chance to, like, really make the Horizon series this big thing. And, you know, that's the only reason why I didn't say it is because that's the one I'm most concerned about. I feel like it's going to get... Like the short end of the
really
spear.
Hard. Yeah, you got to put a lot of money into it to, like, make it, you know, live up to the game.
And this one's going to Netflix. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah.
So, well, then in that case, I mean, they got to get Lance Riddick. Lance Riddick's got to return as Silence in some form. I mean,
100%. He has to
return. He's probably just hanging around at the, you know, the Netflix offices.
It's like, what do you need to cast me in next? What do you need to cast me in next?
You guys doing more Resident Evil? He's like, they're like, we haven't canceled it yet. All right, I'll be in the snack room. Snacks. Hanging out. No, I don't know. I feel like didn't they announce that Horizon's show is like set?
Like,
it's like 20 minutes before everything.
I think so. And gives me the most concern. It's like, I think it'll be a very engaging, like, dramatic kind of, like,
I see.
Showcasing, like, the fall of man. But
civilization, yeah.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's so
that's probably the way they're gonna have to do it, just because it would be a lower budget, and then they can be like, well, if this, you know, takes off, now we got the money for, like, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So,
that's kind of what they did with season one of Fear the Walking Dead. Like, the first couple of seasons, it was just like, you know, it was when the outbreak just occurred, And then as things have progressed, like I think they're in season 9 now. Now it's like it's the apocalypse. There was an atomic bomb and everything. So it's, you know, I guess if this series does progress and they see if it's successful, maybe we'll start to see some of those bigger set pieces in seasons, you know, seasons 2, 3. And
I think the whole first season is going to be very compelling science, futuristic office drama. And then like in the final episode, it's going to end with a shot of like a watcher and the eye turns on.
Yeah.
I think Brian might've said this on this, but it's like, I can completely picture that where like, it's all big buildup for like one teaser thing. And people are going, oh, I know that from the game. And then it's like, but what about shooting arrows at a big robot dinosaur? That could be cool too.
Maybe it ends with like a time jump, you know, like one scene from like, and then 500 years later,
It shows somebody fighting.
Yeah.
It shows one of the tribes fighting.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Stick at a robot.
Anyway, let us know in the comments what you feel about all this. And if you're mad that we're not talking about games, well, jeepers, I would love to be talking about Marvel's Wolverine. That would be cool if Sony announced some new stuff about Marvel's Wolverine.
That'd Bub. Be nice.
I want to talk about Wolverine. I love Wolverine. That guy's
Wolverine's great.
Anyway, Wolverine had some great and also probably not great games for the PlayStation 2. Hold on. Let me do that segue over again. In the words of Blink-182, nobody loves you when you're 23, and the PlayStation 2 turns 23 this week, so we figured we could talk about some of the PS2 games that nobody loves except for us. Maybe they're underrated, or maybe we just want to talk about them for the hell of it. Jada, you want to kick us off?
Yes. My darling in the rough is The Bouncer, a little action RPG by Squaresoft before the Square Enix merger. This RPG was like one of the first PS2 games I played. It features a main character named Sion, who is this amalgamation of Sora from Kingdom Hearts and Tidus, or Tidus, however you want to prefer it, from Final Fantasy X. Like, it's just kind of this combination of the two. It's this brawler. Like, it's kind of the Streets of Rage 2D brawler that we got growing up translated into a 3D brawler. And then it was one of the early PS2 games to add like multiplayer versus, so you could fight against each other from a cast of characters.
This was 3D Tetsuya brawler. Nomura, wasn't it?
I believe so.
That clip we showed just looked like Sora went to the mall and got jumped in the food court.
Yeah, then he you know, had to jump into the nearest Hot Topic to get, you know, a new set of a new outfit to
Kingdom Hearts, Pacific Suncoast, whatever.
Yes, but yeah, and like it was like one of the few games where I could actually use like my PS2 multi-tap early into the PS2 lifespan to use play four players, and it was a blast. I had a lot of fun with this one. The story is it's a story. but like it's one of those games, it's kind of like those very campy movies that we love to watch, but it's a game in that format, and I really enjoyed it, and I think more people should play it, and I really hope eventually it makes it to the PS Plus catalog, because I would love to revisit again without having to find my PS2 in the garage.
Akeem, weren't you saying you have some like headcanon for this, or theories or something weird?
Yeah, I do. But I also have some questions for Jada.
Yeah.
About this game. So the game is called The Bouncer. Who are they bouncing or protecting?
You are bouncing everybody that comes in your way because
it works at all.
You
I was gonna say, wait
because
a minute.
You like some of the moves, they literally are bouncing people off the ground. So like it's more of the physical bouncing like people versus knocking them out of clubs. But yeah, it's
yeah, they're
very
on like the back of a flatbed truck there. What nightclub are they trying to get into?
It doesn't even start like at a club.
It does start at a club.
No, so
I believe it does start at a club.
Okay.
Bear with me, audience. Come for me at the comments if you want. It's been like 15 years since I played this damn game. But I believe it does have like an opening cutscene at a club, and then Sion gets some type of news, and then he has to go out and do something, and then it all just kind of starts from there.
That makes sense.
But yes.
It's like John Wick, but as a bouncer. Maybe he like bounced the wrong guy or
something like that. Yeah. It's been a minute. I probably should have reread the history of the story before I jumped into it, but it's just one of those games where like, I don't even need to remember what the game is about to just remember how passionate and how much I love this game.
That's what we're talking about here. Whether or not the game is good is incidental. This is about our fond memories.
But the game is good.
From 23 years ago or thereabouts, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good for, you know.
Yeah, if you're a Kingdom Hearts fan, if you love Sora, you're definitely going to love the Bouncer. yep. I mean, that one character looks exactly like Sora. can't take a punch like Sora.
Yeah, what if the cast of Tekken decided to beat up Sora and the, what is that, like, are they at a pool? Where are they?
It's kind of like a corporate building or whatnot they're in,
sure,
I believe.
Why not? So. Yeah, you know, the hottest nightclub, the corporate building.
Well, this is like later. This is pretty sure later in the game.
Fellas, this is a private event.
If I remember right,
it's an office holiday party. You can't hang out here. I'm going to have to suplex you.
Doragon, the person they're trying to beat up or beat them up, is like one of the main baddies. So this is, I believe, like mid to later into the story.
Doragon.
Okay.
Wait, Akeem, what's your theory on this game?
It's super simple. I was like, this seems like it's just a fever dream that Sora is having, and you know,
oh yeah, one of his many like Kingdom Hearts dreams.
Yeah, he travels.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Look at that necklace.
What's
like
going on there? like a weird S&M necktie. I hate it.
Yep,
he's and a SoundCloud rapper on the side as well as being a bouncer.
So fair enough.
I think SoundCloud did come out around this time. Yeah. So you know, it tracks.
Good heavens.
Yeah, and then like the bigger brute Volt has like literal horns growing out of his head. I don't remember why he has like horns out of his head.
SoundCloud strife. I like it.
So Josh, there's no demons in this game, right? There's
just
no demons.
Dragons.
You're just fighting humans.
Yes, just humans.
With horns. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Dudes with overalls and no shirt on.
They've got you know, magical abilities as much as like somebody from like Tekken does, basically. Idea.
Speaking of, my game is Tekken 5, but not the part you're thinking of. It's just the single player platformer beat 'em up portion called Devil Within, where you play as Jin and just run around beating up people through levels. I don't know. I think
Josh basically took my answer and then copied my homework.
I mean, it's kind of the reverse. It's actually the opposite, where Jada's was a game that was a single player adventure with you have co-op and then you can actually fight against each other. But my game is a game where you fight each other and then you can play a single player version. This isn't footage of it, but this is just Tekken. But Devil Within, I don't remember what the plot was. Probably worse than the bouncer.
Probably.
But Jin is just going through different levels, beating up people, and then doing some god-awful platforming. But the reason why it stuck with me is because back then I have two siblings, and like I can only buy games that were multiplayer, essentially. Mm. And so anytime I didn't have a, you know,
there we go,
someone to play with, there we go, I would just bring this guy out. And I wasn't very, this was like one of my first like single player campaign games, I guess, and I was not very good at it. And I think the checkpoints were like really brutal as well. So I remember sweating a lot, like playing through this game, because if I died, I would have to reset pretty far back. Wow, I didn't even remember like these maps are like.
That was the life of like PS2 games, though. Like, you're safe. You were very much at the mercy of where the designers decided. Like, you get a save point here, you get a save point here. There weren't nearly as many checkpoints as we get nowadays. Spoiled.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
I think if this is the same video that I was looking at to refresh my memory, too, there was a comment that was saying, like, hey, dude, you know there's like a block button, right? And the uploader responded and said, to be honest, I just wanted to get this over with. That's my general feelings about this.
You know what? If you don't get hit, you don't need to block.
That's
my
true.
General philosophy in
true.
Games. Hit them first, kill them first, and you don't need to block.
Hmm. Now, I'm always love single player stuff. I love stories, and I also love like fighting game rosters. But the problem is that like fighting games typically, you know, they're about the fight, and I suck at that part. So it's kind of like I want to be. I don't know, like I remember being like excited about Street Fighter, the movie, the game. And like, there's that one like Mortal Kombat.
Shaolin Monks.
Was it Sub-Zero one? Or there was Shaolin Monks. There was also one that was like Sub-Zero Origins Legacy something. Oh. I think it was on N64, but it was like a side scroller, which it's also, I'm surprised we don't see this more often, probably because they just are always horribly received.
Yeah.
The idea of being like, we already made this whole moveset and this character. Like, what if we just made a story version where they, you know, instead of just staying in the same room fighting a handful of characters, what if we just have them like walking along and going places?
Beating up scrubs. I think Tekken 3 and 4 had that, where it was a beat 'em up and you could select any one of the characters you wanted.
That sounds right. Because I think I remember going through as like Eddie Gordo, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember going through and just like cartwheeling people to death.
It makes a ton of sense for Tekken because it's, you know, 3D to begin with. And
Yeah.
Akeem, what about you? What's your little favorite from the PS2 era?
Well, Max, I'm glad you asked. I have to go with the last game made by Team Silent before Konami decided to give this particular franchise to Western game devs, and that's Silent Hill 4: The Room. Was the last one, and it was beautiful. It wasn't necessarily connected to 1, 2, or 3 outside of just, of course, you know, Silent Hill, these supernatural worlds being involved. This game, you play as a guy named Henry, and you're trapped in your apartment. You wake up one day, you're just trapped in your apartment. You have no idea what's going on, how you got trapped in your own apartment, until you discover a hole in your bathroom. And in your bathroom, that's where it transports you to it's technically supposed to be just like little areas of Silent Hill. Mm. And you start to uncover the mystery behind this serial killer who was born in your apartment. He died, but he somehow came back as like a ghost, and he's still killing. Because, you know, naturally, if serial killers could come back as ghosts, that's probably what they would do, what they do best. But yeah, this game was really, really frightening for me. And it's kind of similar to the other Silent Hill games in a sense, where it's like you're playing as an ordinary person. So obviously your aim with a gun isn't going to be up to snuff. You're not going to have good aim. Also, when you're wielding like melee weapons, you actually can run out of strength. This game was just, I feel like it also has very early signs of PT, which I know a lot of people were, you know, that's a beloved, you know, a demo in the Silent Hill sphere, where when you're in your apartment, it's just first person. There's no like jump scares or anything like that, but it's first person, and you're navigating your apartment in first person, discovering clues here and there.
How big is the hole in the bathroom?
It's big enough for a human sized man.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like a peephole or other kinds of holes.
It just sucked him in.
Yeah. I feel like this looks so creepy. The thing about like that era of games is like you'll see stuff that's kind of creepy. And then you got to remember that we were seeing it through like a CRT TV, which makes everything so much weirder looking. Like Silent Hill had that haze to it. And it was just, ugh. Yeah. Very creepy.
So I've only played, I think, Silent Hill Homecoming and I believe Silent Hill 2 way back in the day. And like, don't all the protagonists, you said the protagonist of this one was, his name was Henry?
Yeah.
Aren't all the protagonists have like very general, like basic names like that? Like, it's not like, it's, that's kind of a, like a, just a.
They have just like, very basic, you know, I guess, I don't want to say generic because I don't want to offend anyone, Henry, that's watching, you know. they have just, I would say, general names for sure.
Name like Scion or something. They're like,
or Dugard. What was the name of that film?
Duragon.
Duragon. Yeah.
Dugong.
This is a game I would love to see kind of remastered. I feel like it was definitely a sleeper hit on the PlayStation 2. I mean, Team Silent went out with a bang. This one was like, it was chef's kiss good. And I think you can download it on GOG.com. I just discovered, because I was like trying to, you know, find like an older copy, but I'm like, I'd rather just play it on my PC just to kind of relive those PS2 moments. But yeah, I definitely say if this is worth a revisit if you remember it from PlayStation 2, or it's just like worth just playing it if you're a fan of the Silent Hill franchise. Of course, we're all looking forward to Silent Hill 2 though.
We'll have to see how that does. Maybe that'll, you know, we'll get a Silent Hill 4: The Room remake after that.
I get some Tommy Wiseau room in there too.
For sure.
Maybe someone's modded that in on PC. Maybe that joke is from 2011. Anyway,
what about you, Max? What was your PS2 darling? So
everyone loves Hulk Ultimate Destruction, but I was actually really fond of the one that came before it, which was just Hulk based on the not great Ang Lee movie, which again, weird casting for that. Like, what's like, I feel like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like floats like a bumblebee, feathers and wind or what, and they're like Hulk smash, and it was weirdly like, I mean, that movie definitely doesn't hold up, but the game was pretty cool. It was the same studio that did the Ultimate Destruction as well as the prototype games, and also Simpsons Hit and Run, which was Radical Entertainment, and they since have been sort of, I don't know, rolled up and put into some bad corner of Activision support studios, but they made some pretty cool games back in the day. And this is, you know, this is not as good as Ultimate Destruction, but I just have a soft spot for it. I think I got it for like stupidly cheap in some bargain bin. And it's, I love how cartoony it is. You know, like there's that movie is like very muted and somber, and like, you know, contrary to that, like the game was very like, it's got this cool cel shaded look. It's very toyetic. The stupid thing, you know, much like the having a, you know, nuanced emotional director take on, you know, to go from The Ice Storm, a movie about people having marital problems in the 70s, to Hulk Smash is a weird choice. I don't understand that cast, that director choice at all. But anyway,
you said Ice Storm and I thought The Day After Tomorrow, and it was like there was marital problems in that. I missed that plot
probably
line.
They were running away from the ice, the cold. Yeah. But no, like this game had stealth sequences where you had to play as Bruce Banner, which was like,
okay,
very funny, because when you think like Hulk, like it's synonymous with smashing and like,
yes,
yelling, and like he literally will like clap so hard it kills people. And like that is not stealthy. That is not like, this is a giant 9 foot tall enormous man who crushes things. But it's like, what if you played as a guy with purple pants who has to be sneaky? But I don't know, like I love the sort of aesthetic of this game. I think it looks really cool, and it, you know, it paved the way for Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which was, I think, much more what people wanted from Hulk.
Fantastic.
But I don't know. Yeah. I have a soft spot for that.
I got to say, Max, I love from the clip that we were just watching, for those listening, I love the product placement. Bruce Banner was drinking Mountain Dew, which is mm-hmm. a green beverage. I'm like, that's kind of on the nose. Like, I'm kind of surprised he wouldn't go for like a purple drink.
Also, that's not how Hulk gets his powers, by drinking too much Mountain Dew.
There's gamma radiation.
Well, that's abomination. That's how his thing. No, I love that. Like, I love the bit in the Edward Norton one where he's like about to screw around and his heart rate goes up and he's like, no, I can't do this right now. But the idea that he's like, I'm trying to keep my pulse down, but I'm pounding all this Mountain Dew, getting riled up, and they're like, please stop, sir. Give this man some melatonin. No, I don't know. That was a fun one. But yeah, like we said, the PS2 had some amazing, amazing games. Like, yeah. Honestly, trying to dig around and find some ones that are like, oh, also, everybody in the comments is going to be like, The Warriors! And it's like, yes,
If you were thinking The Warriors, you owe me a quarter.
Yeah.
Like, please.
If everyone says something is great, it's not underrated. Everyone agrees The Warriors was awesome. It's just, I think the game has more fans than the movie it's based on. But yeah, that was, I don't know.
And none of us think that the bouncer is very good, except Jada. So that's what makes
exactly.
it underrated.
Oh,
that's what makes
those underrated. Bouncer fans are getting ready to get on their overalls and beat you up in the
I cannot wait
lot.
To see all those comments.
Let me see. Come out, come out. Come out and bounce me. I dare
can
you.
Can we just admit the bouncer was never good?
What are we doing here? Why do we have to do this?
There we go.
Can we just admit
he got
the
out
Warriors
on record.
Was always good?
Yeah, got on record.
I love that the Warriors was like, was that pre or post San Andreas? I can't even remember.
This was pre San Andreas. This was post, I think, Vice City. I think it was right after Vice City, but before
San
Andreas.
This was a Rockstar blank check game. This was like, what do you want to spend your money on? Like, wake up Barry DeVorzon. We need original music based on that hit film directed by Walter Hill, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like just definitely a deep cut based on a book, no less.
Yeah.
Like Die Hard, one of those movies that everyone knows the movie and like four people have read the book and they're like, it's fine. Anyway, I love this. This game was cool as hell. But yeah, The Warriors is great. Hulk, not as good, but I like it too. Yeah, let us know what your favorite PS2 games that nobody else loves except for a bunch of people in various internet forums and comment sections who probably also love it. I mean, no matter what your favorite game is, you can find somebody out there who also loves that game.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So let's all focus on positivity. This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for?
None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Now, speaking of positivity, something that is a divisive topic is QuickTime events. Some people really hate them, and other people have mixed feelings, I think. Is that, I feel like that's...
Yeah, that's fair. I love QuickTime events.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You're so positive about everything.
I love video games.
I think QuickTime events are the video game equivalent of jump scares, in that they are cheap, and they jump up at you.
So, yeah.
And I don't handle them well. I get stressed.
So I will say that, like, I love QuickTime events when they're done, when they're executed properly. When they're just thrown in there, just shoveled in there to shovel them in there, no. But if you get them in a big game, like, say, Asura's Wrath, which has very big moments that are very much about, like, doing these over-the-top big things that is outside of the normal gameplay, I think it's great. I think it's a great use of them.
Well, we need to make this whole conversation a quick time event. And Josh, I believe you have something prepared for us. How are we doing this?
Yeah, so I think everybody has some sort of a signal device that will...
Akeem, I'm sorry we didn't have time to...
There we go. I don't know which one's going to mean what. You can have something for agree or disagree.
I was going to do... I don't know. We didn't really plan... You can see these are horribly...
Yeah.
Yeah. Second graders.
Akeem, what do you got
for us?
I mean, I got a mic that echoes...
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So Akeem will bring out the red mic if he thinks that this is a good QuickTime event.
This looks like the world's worst auction. For those of you listening at home, we have ping pong paddles with PlayStation buttons crudely taped onto them, but they're not all the same. I have the face buttons.
I have an R3 as well as the triggers, and then also a couple of face buttons.
Yeah,
so we're kind of playing with a half a deck, right?
Okay, so if let's do for you guys, if it's an X button, you guys think it's a good QuickTime event, and if you don't think it's a good one, you'll do square.
Okay,
you both have square.
I'm just gonna...
and then you can use the other one if you feel like it's something in between, and then explain later. But I think the reason we're talking about this is because the Resident Evil 4 remake won't have the QuickTime, or it will.
It will. But I think
not into the degree of what we're used to or expected from the previous releases.
Okay. Well, let's start with that. Resident Evil 4, let's see an example of a QuickTime event from that game and see if you guys think it's a good one or not. Red, could you please roll the clip? All right. This is the famous boulder chase where you have to mash square to sprint as Indiana Jones style a boulder is running towards you. What do you guys think? You don't think this is a good one. You don't think it's a good one. And Akeem thinks it's a good one. Akeem, minority here.
I was going to use this for no.
For no. Okay, so you all disagree. This is a bad QuickTime event. Why?
Oh, I was just pushing the buttons.
You're mashing square.
Mashing square and then L2, R2 to the last second dodge.
Yeah.
That's the buttons.
I think this is a bad one, but I love it.
Okay, explain.
I feel like Resident Evil is very good at taking things that are super scary and being like, oh, they're scary. Like, the, I don't know, RE4 is like a greatest hits of various movie monsters, but given us kind of bootleg coat of paint, as well as all sorts of just generic horrors and phantasms. And then there's a big rock, and you have to run away from the big rock by pressing square fast enough and then dodging out of the way at the last minute. And it's just, they're clearly doing the Indiana Jones thing, but again, it's a big rock.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just it seems like it's a game full of silly things. And again, it's bad, but I love it.
Also, on my second playthrough, I would like to just use my rocket launcher to blow up the rock instead.
Well,
do it.
Well, it's also bad because, why are you hitting square? Aren't boulders circles?
But like, the square why is go... the enemy of the circle.
Speaking of boulders, let's move on to the next clip. RE5. Also, we got some more boulders here with the QuickTime event.
They really like their boulders, apparently.
It's not a very quick time event. Yeah. There we go.
There he is. He's mashing square again, but this time to push a boulder, then to roll around the analog stick to keep pushing, and then X to give it a right hook, and then circle to give it a right hook, and then X to give it a right hook, then a square to give it a right hook, and then he just punches the boulder. All right. How do you guys feel about this one? Triangle. This is somewhere in between.
I think that means
somewhere in between.
Quick time event.
Akeem, you're not a big fan of this.
Yeah, I mean, I did both. So yes, yeah. For the smoke machine means yes, and then the mic means no.
Okay. We're on a tight ship here. This is a good. Yeah. We're doing. This is really.
What makes this a bad quick time event?
So this is partially good. This is partially good. I'll start with the bad part. The part that you have to like keep. You know, you're pushing the rock. You're pushing the rock. By hitting the square button. I think that sucks. But when we're talking about memes, this really took off when Chris decided to give that bad boy a couple of firm punches. Right? Uh-huh. Like the internet took off. With that right there, that seismic punch, that's why it's good.
This is what makes it good.
This was his casting audition to get into Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. This is what got him into it. Like, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
I like this. I think this reads like a direct response to anybody who criticized the boulder in RE4, and the devs were like, oh, you didn't like that? Well, how about this? Shut up. Press square. F you. Go to hell. Like, punch the boulder.
I just, you know, to Akeem's point of it being, like, it becoming meme-worthy, it is super meme-worthy. It's just so ludicrous to punch a boulder and expect it. Like, this whole scene, I remember playing this scene, and it's just so ludicrous. It's ridiculous. So, well,
my problem with this scene is that you use multiple buttons to do the same action.
Mm.
Like, I feel like as a rule for a quick time event, right, you should just stick to one button for one move and just do that.
I think all games should only have one button that you have to press the entire time.
Oh yeah, me too.
I think they should have 78 different buttons that we press.
You would like
at all times
a keyboard.
Okay. So both
PC
like,
gamer here
for both Resident Evils here, you guys kind of gave it a pass because it's a little bit silly, and Resident Evil's a little silly.
Yes.
What about a game that's like supposed to be serious and you have quick time events that are serious? Can we pull up the next clip, please, Red? It is called Heavy Rain.
Ethan,
this is the famous chase through the market. The clip we're showing is where he fails every quick time event, and as a player, I think that if you were to fail these, you would feel frustration, right? You're supposed to connect with this character and be like, wow, I'm very frustrated. I can't catch this guy. I keep messing up. Especially, I should have gotten more grippier shoes as he slips on the ice. Is this a good quick time event or not?
You mean this particular event or Heavy Rain the entirety of the game, which is mostly quick time
events? I mean, this one in particular. We'll go with this one in the particular. Do you think this is a good use of quick time events? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And Akeem?
No.
No. Why not?
No. This is frustrating. Even if you get it, if you get it right, if you get it wrong, like this is just frustrating. Like, this reminds me, I'm having flashbacks to when my first QTE game, and that was Indigo Prophecy, and it was horrible. I hated playing that game because of all the quick time events that were in it. I don't like this. I'm not a fan of this, the way that they do it in Heavy Rain. Although this is comical, what we're watching right now, just failing at every turn.
I'll give this one credit because it does have repercussions, which are hilarious, which is good. I mean, what I hate is when quick time events, when you fail them, it's just, that's it. It's just like, you lose. In this case, he still catches up to the guy. He just looks like an idiot doing it. Like, he accomplishes his goal, which, again, is sort of flies in the face of the whole point of Heavy Rain's, like, choose your own adventure narrative pathways or whatever. But, like, I don't know. It's very funny to me that, like, this is like the outtakes from a movie. The movie still gets made, though. Like, they just like, oh, we did 27 takes, and that was the best one. Like, this dude just...
Yeah. You need that Benny Hill music playing right now.
Oh yeah, it would work great.
I think I like this one also because from a gameplay's perspective, nothing is more infuriating than having to catch an NPC that their whole goal is to run from you in a game, and like not getting that grab command to go properly when you have to do it yourself. So I appreciate them just taking that portion out of the equation for me.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing with Heavy Rain is that even if you fail it, the story continues. It's not game over, right? It's not
correct.
Do or die. But there are some games that where the QuickTime event is do or die. Red, can you pull up the next clip, please? It is from Spider-Man.
Poetry.
We're not hearing audio for this, but you know, you're hitting spacebar to just jump around a fiery building, and then he has to save a scientist attached to a bomb, and you have to click the scroll wheel at the right moment to do it, and if not, you explode, and the scientist says, "I'm gonna die," before the whole building explodes. Is this a good QuickTime event or not? No, yes, and yes for Akeem, I think. What?
Sure, I'll give it to him. Yeah, I'll say yes.
Okay, what makes it a bad QuickTime event?
I mean, again, I think bad QuickTime, like we're talking about them. The worst ones are where they do what they're supposed to do. They're just annoying in the game, and there's nothing exciting to write home about. I will give this one credit for being amazingly bad. But I love that he just face plants. Like, they really were like, they failed the QuickTime event of animating that sequence. Like, right. That's not even like a compelling, I don't know, like Spider-Man just face planting.
Yeah.
I don't think, can you even do that?
Like I don't think you can do that normal.
He just lands.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So much more coordinated when he's swinging across buildings, but suddenly now
he
becomes the Wile E. Coyote.
This QuickTime event just always makes me bust up laughing. I love the idea of Spider-Man just face planting.
Yeah. No, I think if he T-posed, it would be more believable. Like seeing him just go fully on the ground is just like that's. Yeah.
I honestly don't know what happens if you do this successfully.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the scientist grows upper eyelids. That's what happens. Find a cure for that terrible. Like, look at that face.
Can we not look at that face? For those of you listening at home, you're having a great time because you don't have to see this scary surprise woman. Awful.
Let's see the newest Spider-Man game, how they did QuickTime events with Spider-Man Miles Morales. Check this one out. You are, you know, riding Rhino, trying to steer him out of, like, hurting other people through a shopping mall. Nice, long slow-mos, nice, satisfying button presses to hit. Good QuickTime event, bad QuickTime event.
Oh, this is easily
easy. Good one. But Max, somewhere in between?
I don't know. When I think of all the stuff I love about Insomniac's Spider-Man games, it's not the QuickTime events.
Really?
And the fact that you can completely just turn them off, I put them in the same category as like the little lab puzzles you have to do.
Right.
Where like, I don't know, they're kind of padding. I mean, I guess they're more exciting than just a cutscene, but they're also not like a full-fledged sequence.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what most QuickTime events are, right? It's like basically a cutscene that you interact with in a way. But when it comes to video games and like immersion, right, isn't kind of the point to do something and your character does it? And like during QuickTime events, do you not feel that effect?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this one.
Whoa.
I don't know. He's ruining all these at the shopping mall during Christmas time. All these people are out getting their presents. He throws the baby carriage.
Yeah.
Well,
Rhino man. He's trying to save people.
Yeah. Well, Akeem, defense of this QuickTime event, what do you think makes it like appropriate or good?
I think it's great. Like, and this was the way that they kind of like started off the game. I feel like these are very just satisfying QuickTime events. I love the fact that it kind of just slows down a little bit for you. And again, like you were saying to your point, Josh. You know, I think it's great when you get to interact with like the more cinematic portions of the video game. You know, this game does it well. Miles Morales, I think God of War does it well, in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't see, Max, I don't see what's the problem here. It seems like you were trying to put the blame on Miles. He's saving people's lives.
I'm putting the blame on the developers. I think they were lazy. You can't go into any of the stores and check out all of the sales going on. You can't buy your presents for your friends.
Not enough immersion.
You wanted Miles to make some quick time purchases. Is that what it was?
Yeah. I want to find some quick deals.
Yeah, it's nice.
No, I do think it's weird that Sony, I guess, has started with first-party games. There's a lot of QuickTime events at the top.
Yeah.
Like, Ragnarok opens with that weird sled thing. And, like, I mean, I guess it's exciting, but it kind of, like, it's... I like it when they hit the ground running with, like, the actual gameplay, not so much, like, walk and talks, not so much cutscenes, not so much QuickTime events. I guess in all of those, QuickTime events are preferable, but I don't know. This is a multiple QuickTime. This keeps going. You know, it's not like you're in the middle of doing something and it's like one cutscene that pops up and then there's a QuickTime event and then it goes back to gameplay, which this is kind of a drawn out scenario here.
Yeah.
And I have a theory about this. I think the reason they do that is because they just want to, you know, set the standard that, you know, there's going to be a lot of these types of moments throughout right. the game. So like up front, you know, you can either check out in the beginning or just keep on powering through. There's going to be a bunch of these QTEs.
I think it's also a way of them showcasing just like the power your character has. Like, this is how cool and how powerful your character is. Look at like how, what they can do to put on display, what they can put on display for their abilities. And they do it by making it look as stylish as possible to really get you to buy in and like the character.
Yeah. And then, you know, we brought it up earlier, but let's take a look at how God of War did it. I mean, God of War is also a similar super narrative, single player driven game. And here's when they did, again, early in the game as well, when Freya attacks you as you and Atreus are sledding in the snow, you just mash circle. In this scenario that we're showing, he doesn't escape, and Freya kills him.
I died here. I died because I started the game, and I thought it was a cutscene, and I was eating two corn dogs. You can't play
You can't put down a corn dog just to hit circle.
I could have just had one corn dog and I might have lived, but I didn't. I died.
Corn dogs, the leading death of video, leading video game.
It's not a good gamer food unless you 3D print some apparatus that mounts them on the controller. That's a story for another day, though.
I mean, bringing up mashing a button as a QuickTime event, do you guys feel like that's a good use of QuickTime?
I think mashing is not great, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I agree that mashing is not a great QuickTime, use of QuickTime events, mostly because also it makes it more difficult if they don't have the accessibility features baked in. God of War did a lot of accessibility features for the game, and they did, like, a lot, and they did an amazing job with them. I didn't check this cutscene with the accessibility settings to see how that worked out, though. So, like, that's something I personally need to go back and check. I'm sure there probably are settings. They were very accessibility forward, mm-hmm. but mashing in general is definitely a very tough thing in the accessibility community.
I'm going to say, yeah, in terms of accessibility, as long as they give the option to not mash, yeah. I think it's great. But I think mashing does a really good job when it comes to, like, immersiveness. Like, anytime they have, like, mashing happening, it's supposed to be these moments of high tension, right? Mm. And, like, you know, it happens again in God of War when Kratos is trying to stop Thor from, you know, pushing mm-hmm. his hammer into his face, or I mean, even with the, like, the boulder stuff, right, with Resident Evil, you're like mashing a button and there's no other real mechanics in a controller where you can be like, okay, I just need to do one repetitive thing, mm-hmm. and if they're kind of trying to do something immersive, mashing a button as hard as
I mean,
you
I think mashing is a direct response to what people do when they're panicking in a game.
Right,
like, they looked at, like, what do people, they just go, and it's like, what if that's what they are supposed to do? I like the ones where you have to, I mean, I don't, I'm what, like Miles is doing, where you have to drag the sticks into a certain spot and then hit something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to, like, line everything up.
Aiming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, to aim the, like, web shooter thing.
Yeah. Where you, like, drag the sticks into, like, little circles and then you gotta.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we can try something that's not button related. There is a game that came out called Tomb Raider Anniversary, I believe. They had QuickTime events. Here you go. I think you swipe on the analog stick in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Dragon's Lair, though. I don't know.
What's wrong with Dragon's Lair?
I played my friend got a Sega CD, and I played this game called Road Avenger,
uh-huh.
which opens with, like, this incredible, like, hand-drawn, like, extremely low-resolution, you know, anime sequence, and you're like, wow, and then it starts you in the game, and I was like, all right, I'm going to be driving this car, and it's actually just like a FMV game about a car.
Mm. Yeah.
And so you know how a car goes back and forth on the road, and if it doesn't, it crashes?
Yeah.
That's the game.
Oh,
so, like, you drive for 3 seconds and then an arrow pops up, and if you don't hit it fast enough, you just crash into the wall.
Huh.
It's very bad. It's very, very bad, but it's interesting. I mean, it's that, I don't know, they made a cutscene and then they chopped it up and added some little prompts there.
Also, doesn't this NPC kind of look like budget Vanilla Ice? Like, he's just making all the appearances lately.
If you're listening without video, that is, it's budget Vanilla Ice. Akeem, how do you feel about this QuickTime event?
I don't like this one at all. I don't know why Lara Croft is going after, like, these 90s has-been rappers right now, what we're seeing on our screen. And also, it's just, I don't know, it seems kind of weak, because it also seems like you're not actually doing anything.
Right.
You're just swiping up, is that it? Like, I don't,
you're swiping
I don't think
up, you're swiping left,
I'd say
down.
It's a bad one.
Ooh.
Bad.
Yeah, press triangle.
I feel like I agree with Akeem. I don't feel like the button prompts on screen match the action that's really going on.
Yep.
Not enough, at least.
And I feel like it's a little inconsistent as well. Like, you have, you're able to control Lara Croft doing all these things, but then you see her, you know, dive behind a rock and then run and shoot the guy again, and you aren't prompted to do any of those.
Yeah.
There needs to be consistency in our quick time events. And can we bring up...
And in that scene, by the way, I expected a lot more from Jamie Kennedy. Wasn't that Malibu's Most Wanted? Wasn't that a scene from the movie?
That looks... Yes.
No? Okay. Retract that reference.
We'll bring it back to... Actually, you know what? We'll do one more here where it's not so much about... you know, even mashing a button or just hitting the right button, it's about timing. We're going to look at Yakuza 0 here. Max, can you tell us what is the context?
Yeah, so it's the telephone club, which is a thing that I think most people can... it's like a friendship phone sex hotline, something or other. It was very popular in Japan in the 80s. Again, you can learn more about it in the hit game Yakuza 0. But yeah, basically you have to answer the phone real quick.
So right when the phone rings, you hit a button.
And then Kiryu just like yanks it off the receiver and then picks it up. And then he, in a very like radio friendly voice, he's like, mushy mushy. Like, it's very like dramatic. And I feel like Yakuza has a lot of really over the top quick time events.
Yeah.
And they're typically like, I don't know. I think they do it well. Like, it'll be in like the middle of a boss fight, you know, and it'll kind of like truncate like boss phases or whatever. And it's in this case, they're clearly making fun of the fact that quick time events are silly and it's just completely over the top.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. It's also, I think it's very easy to fail this one.
Like, that's a quick timer.
Just, yeah. And he's just like, doesn't, I don't know. The timer is also a fun addition where it like really, I feel like it really adds to the, it shows you exactly how quick the time is of the event. But I'm also, you could show me like a Yakuza game crashing and I'd be like, yeah, it's a great game. Look at it go. It's cool. I like it. Yakuza is a good series.
I think any game that, well, anytime they have a quick time event that could easily be its own standalone like Mario Party game, I think it's great. Like, if it doesn't even mesh well with the story, as long as that like that part is fun, I think it'll like sell me.
I think I think I'm gonna go back on one of my answers from the Resident Evil 5 one. I think I said was a bad one. I think based on the Yakuza one and the Spider-Man one with him just face planning, the more absurd that the quick time event is, I think the better it is.
Yeah.
I think that's my new stance on quick time events.
Yeah, because the quick time event's gonna take you out of the game anyway.
Correct.
Like, might as well just go balls out. Let's make this weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
The weirder, the better.
Boulders to the Wolders, as they say. Really.
Boulders to the Wolders. Yeah. Speaking of weird, let's go end with this one.
Okay.
It's the weirdest one, maybe. Asura's Wrath, which we brought up earlier.
The game is all quick time events.
It is. Yes.
It's like all it is.
And this is one like where God pushes his finger onto Earth and you have to stop.
You have to say, knock it off up there.
And here we go. It's great. I think this one is a perfect example of like mash a button to stop God's finger from crushing you.
Yeah, that's a good mashy one.
This is a great mashy one.
I mean, this
one.
Game is also like it got some crap for it when it came out. People are like, it's just a game about QuickTime. It's just an anime that you press buttons during, and it's like, yeah, but that was it.
That
like,
was kind of that was the whole point. Like, it
was they committed to it. You know?
Yeah,
they committed to the bit, and I don't know. Like, if it had been stuff that was just like sloppily inserted in another game, it's like that's another story entirely. But like, I don't know. I think QuickTime events, they have to be deliberate. You know, they can't just be like, we'll just tack it on there.
Deliberate and absurd.
This got a whole meter showing you how hard you're pushing on God's finger with your little fist.
It's great.
Yep.
He's really punching that finger.
This is definitely one of those games where you do not button mash normally, where you set the controller down and you are one finger just up and down on the
Pro tip for that, electric toothbrush. Just get it right up against the button. Like,
I've never done that.
Yeah, I did that to get a platinum in one of those bad games that we played.
Oh, the Spank the Rabbit or whatever?
Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yeah. Oh, wait, it was Stroke the something, right? Whatever.
That's even worse. What are we doing?
Well, that was a conversation about quick time events that was definitely not a quick time, but we had a good time, and that's the important part. So press circle in the comments below to let us know how you feel about quick time events, or I guess we're going to probably figure out a nice poll, which is kind of like a really slow quick time event, if you think about it. One of
that's
those polls.
True. Slowest quick
you just
time event.
Press what you feel. Anyway, speaking of Asura's Wrath grade, big, huge, exciting anime fight sequences, Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Budokai 4 was announced after 16 years since the last mainline entry in the series. This was, I mean, I'm going to go on a limb and say this is like the definitive Dragon Ball video game series.
Yes. The fight for the like for past fighting ones. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Tenkaichi series was the series. If you were playing a Dragon Ball Z fighting games, I mean, the early Budokai games were great, but once we got to Tenkaichi, it was just a whole nother level and there was no going back after that.
So yeah, we got a little teaser that is cool. It shows some like clips of the old stuff, and then it has like a shot of it's like on a little CRT TV to remember.
I really like that they went with the CRT scene. It really kind of takes you back to like, oh yeah, when I was playing this, it was on a CRT, a little tiny TV. And then it erupts at the end and we get the full screen.
Remember high school? Remember 4:3 aspect ratio? Well, it's gone because Goku's killed it. No, I like that they've got Goku doing his Super Saiyan Blue, whatever it's called, Blue Raspberry Warhead flavor. But yeah, since this game came out, they've added how many different transformations throughout like Super and the various movies?
Yeah, quite a bit. And and also, not only that, I'm glad to see that they're going with the cel-shaded look for this new game that's coming out. Because, I mean, from my memory, I don't think the original Budokai games were actual, they weren't cel-shaded, right?
No, they were just kind of low poly, like very flat render, which was, it looked good. But it wasn't cell shaded. Like this is gonna look like Dragon Ball FighterZ is so good, so good looking. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if y'all noticed this, but it seems like Bandai Namco comes out with a new. I know it's been like 16 years since we got a Budokai game, but like Bandai Namco's been coming out with new Dragon Ball related games like almost every single year since we hit the mid 90s, early 2000s. There's been a new. I'm assuming that must be like a licensing thing because I mean like we've gotten some good games and we've gotten some bad ones. Like what last year we got Dragon Ball, the Breakers.
Yep.
Does anyone remember that?
I played that.
It's a rip off of Dead by Daylight.
Funniest idea, but yeah,
it was just such a mess of a game.
I mean, we had Kakarot before that. It definitely seems like with the exception of the Breakers, they've gotten better about like really, I mean, for a minute it felt like very much that kind of, this is just licensed games, but I think like fully committing to a 2D fighter or a RPG. Like, again, I wish that Kakarot had like a little bit extra love, but this is going to be cool. This is going to be good. Weird thing is like the last version to get released of this was in 2012. They put out like the HD collection that was Budokai 1 and 3.
They skipped 2.
Yeah, which was, I'm not even sure why that was the case. Was it bad?
We don't talk about 2, that's why.
Was it bad? What did 2 they do?
Was 2 was just, it was... It wasn't...
No energy blast. Everyone had to stay on the ground the whole time.
They made some... I can't remember exactly what it was, but it just, like, it lost a lot of that, like, the feeling that we got when we played 1. It just wasn't... Like, it did feel... It felt a little soulless or whatnot. It felt kind of like... Normally, it's, when you see a game based on an anime, generally, the first iteration is very basic, and you're I'm going to wait for the sequel. I'm going to wait for 2, because then they'll have the next arc that's already out. Like, this is just the starter. It's like anytime you buy, like, you get a new Naruto game, it's like, cool, we get up to the Chunin exams and that's it. Yeah. And it's like, why am I don't want to play through the Chunin exams. Like, that's not enough content. But like, as you get to further, the second one is usually they fixed any of the bugs. They've expanded on it, made it a deeper experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's the rare thing that video games do that other media doesn't, is like the second iteration is oftentimes much better because it is effectively a, massive new version rather than like just a straight sequel. And, sometimes they drop the ball and screw it up, but I don't know. Usually they save that for the third. But I mean, third Budokai had a massive roster that had like Dr. Slump characters in there and stuff, which is cool as hell. I don't know. I just want some deep cut Toriyama stuff in there.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So that's good news. We also got some news about Final Fantasy 16, which, we probably should have led with a week and a half ago when it broke. But basically, the director talking about how it would not be possible on PS4. Like it is using the new proprietary hard drive to, like, you'll be in the middle of like a battle and it'll be like loading a cutscene in the background and basically just queuing everything up. And it's that kind of like nebulous developer talk where it's really hard to understand exactly, how much of this is smoke and mirrors and how much of this is like actually what's going on under the hood. But I don't know. It's cool to hear talk about like why this generation actually matters, because, for the most part, it's been like, okay, well, I guess it's making use of more power. But in this case, it's multitasking a lot, which is cool to hear. Do we have any strong feelings about FF16?
I mean, I'm excited for it mostly because of the combat designer that is there from Devil May Cry. And so, like, just getting that Devil May Cry action, I love DMC. So getting a little bit of my Final Fantasy is a lot of fun for me. I do miss, like, kind of the more traditional, more tactical that Final Fantasy is known for. But, you know, they've got the classics to go back to for me to play that. And we've got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming later this year. So I'm A-okay with getting a little bit something different that is hopefully going to bring some audience back to Final Fantasy, because it has been, minus Final Fantasy XIV, it's kind of been kind of lukewarm over the last couple of years. Like, it hasn't drawn as big of an audience as I know Square wants it to be, because it is kind of like the grandfather of RPGs. Like, mm-hmm. Final Fantasy, you know, is one of the grandfathers. Well, the obviously Ultima and stuff, but yeah.
Like, they clearly wanted Forspoken to be like a whole new kind of flagship thing, which that was very much leaning on the kind of magical realism that we've come to expect from Final Fantasy, where it's like, you know, intersecting like recognizable real world themes and technology and stuff with a magical world. Whereas this is just straight kind of medieval fantasy.
Yep.
And I kind of get the feeling that maybe they wanted to sort of, you know, separate those two. And obviously we're still going to get, you know, Final Fantasy that has, you know, robots and stuff in there here and there. But,
you know, I have a feeling, and I have no proof of this, this is purely anecdotal, but like, I feel like a lot of the magic that they had in Forspoken was probably used as like a test bed when they were building Final Fantasy 16 with like more action focused. And they're like, this doesn't really fit with the full over design, but we've spent so much time designing this. Let's make something out of this because it is still a really cool and fun system.
Well,
so,
I mean, yeah, Forspoken was the FF15 team, which got spun off. And I mean, was that the first real time combat Final Fantasy
15?
Yeah.
Like
mainline entry?
Technically, yes. 12 would be close to real time, but it was because it used the Gambit system, but it was still kind of like, it was like MMO real time,
right?
Where it's like you're on cooldown for your basic attacks or whatever skills that you had queued up in the Gambit system.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that this is sort of a step backwards in terms of setting, and not backwards, but in terms of like, you know, it's whimsical fantasy without any people wearing parkas or like sneakers, you know, like there's no sneakers in this Final Fantasy, but it's still real
question.
Time.
I got a question about this. When do you decide to just put a particular franchise to rest? Like, you know, this is 16, right? Like, why are we still going? I checked out at Final Fantasy X. That's all I'm saying. I checked out at Final Fantasy X. I was like, okay, I don't see anything that's really like that's revolutionizing this particular the JRPG franchise for me anyways, as like a fan of the Final Fantasy series. I'm like, the characters, they're not as iconic as you know, the characters from the previous games, you know, before I checked out. Like, I'm just curious, why are we still going with this franchise? I know it's a moneymaker, but I'm just...
Because there are millions of fans that love this franchise, Akeem. Like,
I mean, there's millions of fans of the Metal Gear Solid franchise as well.
Well,
that's a different story.
That is a completely different story. That is,
and also there's millions of fans of the Silent Hill franchise.
Mm-hmm. Again,
it's
another.
It's a different,
very
story.
Different.
And there's millions of fans of. I can keep going.
I mean, are you asking for us to end Mario at this point? Because Mario's got just as many games, if not more, than Final Fantasy.
Somebody's got to stop him. No, I mean,
someone needs to stop him.
To your point, Akeem, like, Final Fantasy is one thing that wish more franchises did, which was treat like the name as sort of a catch-all for whatever needs to go in there.
Yeah,
like Silent Hill is I feel like that goes different directions. Like, that's not all. Like, maybe there's one cohesive universe, sort of, but it's not really super connected. Mm-hmm. You look at something like Far Cry, where like you know what a Far Cry game is, but they're all their own self-contained things. And like Final Fantasy, for, you know, for a long time, it was just each new entry was a new thing. And it'd be like, you know, they're like Cactuars and Chocobos would show up, but it was like an entirely new set of characters. And then they did like, oh, like 10-2 or like, you know,
the
Crisis 13, Core.
In the 13 trilogy. And I think 13-3, that one actually, I think, was live real-time action or whatnot. Mm. But mainline in first starts, like, then it would be 16 would be.
Yeah, like, 13 was like cool as hell, like setting wise. I also think it completely like killed momentum for that franchise.
I think it's just, I have a lot of thoughts on 13. 13 is one of my favorites. But
that's where my mind goes. Like, the fact that there's not like a character that we're continuing to follow throughout the Final Fantasy series. I think that's That's like with Mario, the Mario game, it's still Mario. I mean, even like in Silent Hill, like there's different characters. Like we had, you know, related characters in like, you know, 1 and 3, but like, I don't know, there's not like a character for me to like latch on to. Like Cloud isn't still, he's not in Final Fantasy 16. He's not still chilling doing stuff.
Just go follow Cid. Go follow Cid. Cid's in basically every Final Fantasy. Just follow Cid. Cid, Biggs, and Wedge, like those are like the three characters that make like regular appearances.
Rogue
like,
Squadron,
all of them.
You can see them. Yeah, yep. Rebel Assault.
Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. That is the true. Star Wars, the Skywalker, that is the true story.
All over, yeah.
They are the real main characters of the Final Fantasy franchise.
I will say,
I do love my chocobos too. Don't forget.
There you go.
Chocobos.
Yeah, chocobos and Moogles. Like,
as someone who's never played a Final Fantasy, like I think a benefit of how like they have the structure set up is that I don't feel pressure to go back and start with Final Fantasy 1. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I don't
for
feel
sure.
like I can jump you into should. The series at any point and be like, okay, I'm playing a game for the first time and like, it's fine. I'm not missing anything, essentially. So I think maybe that's why. And the fact that.
Josh, what, I got to ask you though, when do you plan on jumping into it? Because you said you've never played one of them.
Yeah. Because
so
I
when
don't
are you
care.
Gonna jump into it?
This is coming from the man. This is coming from the man who just asked for when we're gonna stop getting the games. He's now trying to pressure somebody else into playing the games.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying because what is it? Because I'm trying to see from someone that's ever played it. What will make you want to jump into it? Like you know now. That's what I'm saying.
I see.
As someone that checked out at 10, I'm trying to see what, if someone that's ever played it, would be, like, there's nothing that you saw in what we were showing in Final Fantasy 16 that's like, oh, I want to check that out.
Oh, no, I blacked out. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
What would they have to do to get you? What do they have to do over at Square Enix to get you on board with Final Fantasy?
You know what? I think they put Sonic the Hedgehog in one of them. I think I'd be in. Akeem, I know you agree with me, Akeem.
No,
I don't want
Sonic anywhere
Sonic
near Final Fantasy.
Would you not be like, yes, sign me up for 20 more Final Fantasies?
I would probably literally vomit blocks of Legos.
Why are you eating Legos?
I've been eating Legos since I was 6.
Well, we need to go have a meeting and address this grave issue. And also, we're running out of time, but thank you all for hanging out and talking about quick time events and video game movies and nonsense. And thank you to everybody listening and watching at home. We will be back next week. Will there be news about Wolverine? I freaking hope so. See you then. Beyond.
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 Look at that, Matt.
Press X. Beyond. Press X to Beyond.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.